help us lead the way.
Tell a friend.
We are WS Radio.
WSRadio.ws.
The worldwide leader in internet talk.
This is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage, and I'm your host for Coping with Caregiving. Stay tuned because we're going to be speaking in a moment with Judy Lund Person. She's the Vice President of State and Regulatory Affairs for the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. And she's going to explain what that all is all about. She's a recognized leader in the field of hospice and end-of-life care consulting with state and local providers on volunteerism, organization, strategic planning, data collection, legislative, and regulatory advocacy. Please check out their website at nhpco.org and stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Judy.
Want a unique and realistic look into the world of writing and publishing? Join Writers Workshop live every Wednesday morning from 9 to 11 a.m. Bringing together writers, publishers, agents, editors, booksellers, and anyone and everyone else in the book world, Writers Workshop is here to answer your questions, offer advice and support, and inspire you on your journey from your idea to the printed page to the bestseller list. Join me, Antoinette Kuritz, and my guests as they talk about their failures, frustrations, joys, and successes. What does it really mean when an agent tells you he loves your writing, but this manuscript doesn't meet current needs? Why should you go into every bookstore you pass and autograph every copy of your book? What's the difference between a novel that's plot-driven or character-driven? And does every book need an agent? What's the difference between genres? And how do you stay out of the slush pile? How do you get published? The answers to these and countless other questions, some of them yours, will be answered on Writers Workshop, the first interactive internet radio show for and about writers. Join us to discuss the art, craft, and business of writing.
Hello, I'm Lee Mirabal, Director of Programming and Sales here at WS Radio. I want to thank you for listening and fill you in on a few important facts. We've just reached our 1 millionth listener and now broadcast 37 unique shows. If you have an idea for a show, we'd like to hear from you. Our weekly lineup is booked, but we do have nights and weekends available. Click the Host Wanted banner on the WS Radio homepage for more information. If you want to increase sales of a product or service, there are some powerful reasons to consider advertising with WS Radio. First, unlike traditional radio, our audiences are highly targeted, online, and ready to order, and we guarantee the number of listeners that will hear your commercial. Bottom line, advertising on WS Radio works. For a limited time, there are some very attractive low-cost offers for first-time advertisers. Find out more by clicking on the Advertise link on the top of our homepage. Again, we thank you for listening to WS Radio.
Are you sick and tired of watered-down talk radio?
Right back.
Listen to WS Radio.
WSRadio.ws.
The worldwide leader in internet talk.
This is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage, and I'm your host for Coping with Caregiving today. And we're going to be speaking next with Judy Lund Person. She's the Vice President of State and Regulatory Affairs for the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. Welcome, Judy.
Thanks. I'm glad to be with you tonight.
Yes. So tell everybody, what is the difference between hospice and palliative care?
Well, hospice is a form of palliative care. Palliative care is a kind of care that's provided to patients who have chronic or life-limiting illness that really focuses on comfort rather than cure. So sometimes you are a patient who can do comfort measures along with a curative treatment, and sometimes you're really going to be spending most of your treatment goals on comfort measures.
Mm-hmm. And palliative meaning?
Palliative really means comfort.
Palliative means comfort. So that's a way to, you know, because when you come from this from another industry, as I did in the television industry for 20 years, these words, a lot of the times, you know, a lot of the professionals would use, I'd be like, well, what does that mean?
Right.
How does it work? So I always try to define early on what it means. And tell everybody what is hospice for? Who is it for? I mean, how do you, tell everybody about it.
All right. Hospice is for patients and their families who have a life-limiting illness. Normally, the kinds of patients we see have weeks or months left to live in the estimation of the physician. So, you know, a lot of times the patient's going to be, you know, we hope we can start helping that patient before they get, like, you know, a week before death, but sometimes it is just a few weeks before the patient has, is dying.
Is that when you usually get the call? How far ahead do you get the calls?
Well,
usually?
We would really love to have patients that, you know, have 3 or 4 or 6 months left to live, but a lot of times we're now getting calls from families and calls from physicians when the patient has a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do at that point? How do you have, what's your process?
All right. Anybody can call, but the physician has to say, yes, this patient is appropriate for hospice care. At that point, a nurse, a social worker, some other members of the admissions team will come out, see the patient, talk to the family and say, you know, here's our services, here's what we can provide. And that array of services is a group of services that is nursing, social work services, a chaplain comes to talk about spiritual issues, the home health aide or the certified nursing assistant comes to help with personal care. Volunteers are sometimes involved, and they also can provide a lot of support for family members or loved ones, as well as the patient themselves.
I can't say enough about the volunteers who do this work. My gosh, I just heard just some wonderful stories when people say, you know, the hospice came out and helped us so much for the end, you know, chapter there, and
right.
Made it so much more. Just told them what to expect and how to go through it and what they needed to do. So there are people going through grief and not knowing where to turn, and just having people there that understand the process for them.
Exactly. And I think it's important to note that hospice is a team of both volunteers and paid professionals. So
mm-hmm.
We have nurses and social workers and chaplains and counselors of all kinds who are, this is their full-time work,
mm-hmm.
As well as the volunteers who are very, very important to our work.
And it's, you know, it's a tough subject, but I mean, you know, wake up, we're all going to go.
Right, right.
This is nothing new.
That's right.
This has been happening for a long time.
That's exactly
it's a
right.
part of life.
Right.
But why do we want to just be in denial that it's never going to happen? What is that?
Well, I think sometimes it's none of us want to admit that we are mortal. And, you know, I think in some ways it's a very American thing that we are craving youth, and we want to make sure that we live as long as we can, and we live as disease-free as long as we can.
But is it really American? Do you find it different in different cultures?
It is different in different cultures, and even in the United States, of course, it is different based on the culture that you're a part of.
Hmm. Any examples you want to give of different cultures that you...
Well, you know, in some cultures, the family is much more involved in the decision making, and in other cultures, the patient themselves says, "I'm in charge." It's every individual patient and their family or their loved ones is just that, an individual.
Hmm. Now, is hospice covered by Medicare or medical insurance, or
it is covered by Medicare, Medicaid in most states, and private insurance.
Okay, so just tell, in case we have a new caregiver out there who doesn't know the difference between Medicare, Medicaid, please explain.
Right, sure. Medicare normally is the program for patients who have reached the age of 65 or older. Some patients are qualify for Medicare because they've had a long illness before they reach age 65, but by and large it is for patients who are 65 or older. Medicaid is for patients who are normally less than age 65 and are also in a socioeconomic situation that is, a lower income kind of area.
And a lot of times they've already burned through their life savings caring for that loved one.
Absolutely.
And they had no idea that they were going to have 5 years of caregiving and the cost of it, and they've spent all their money, and now they've applied for the Medicaid system assistance through the government.
Exactly.
So at that point, so then if someone is on Medicare or Medicaid or even private insurance, you're saying will cover it?
Absolutely.
Isn't that good?
Yeah. We have almost every private insurance plan will cover hospice services.
Now, what about the caregiver? I know you support the person that's passing, but what support does hospice provide for the caregiver and the family?
Well, I'd like to take a little bit of an interesting approach because I've been a caregiver myself, and so I'd like to talk about it from the caregiver's perspective just for a moment.
Please.
The caregiver in in every situation is very integral, a very, very important part of the whole team of people who are caring for the patient. And the needs of the caregiver are considered just as the needs of the patient are considered. So in my situation, I was caring for a neighbor who was like a second dad to me. Hmm. And he had lung cancer. He needed professional care from the nurses and the social worker and the chaplain. But the social worker and the chaplain also spent time with me as we were providing care to him and trying to help him kind of work through his own issues about dying.
Mm-hmm.
So in hospice, we consider the loved ones and the patient as our unit of care, or the whole group of people who are involved with that patient, as friends, loved ones, family, are all part of the care that needs to be provided.
And so how often do they come out? And if you have someone, how does it usually work?
Well, in most cases, it's going to depend on what the patient needs. So an individual care plan is designed for the patient, and sometimes it would be a nursing visit, say, once a week in the very beginning. And then as the patient might get sicker, that nursing visit might be once a day, three times a week, twice a week. It kind of depends on what that patient needs.
Right.
And then the social worker, the chaplain, other counselors will all be part of the team as well, and we'll be making visits based on what the needs are.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think the problem that I encountered with both parents with Alzheimer's disease, you know, my dad turned so rageful, and he'd always had that raging temper. This was nothing new, but then
right.
at the beginning of the disease, it made everything illogical and irrational.
Oh, sure.
And I couldn't get the caregivers in there, and I couldn't get them to go to different doctors and all that. And my mom needed complete 24-hour care, and I applied for hospice for her, but because she wasn't terminal,
right.
I couldn't get it. And
yeah.
so I went through 5 years of caregiving, never knowing when they were going to pass, not knowing that we didn't know if we'd go 10 years.
Right.
An average person with Alzheimer's goes 8 years.
That's right.
And so I was never able to get it. And
yeah.
then they both ended up passing very recently. And it would have been really nice to have hospice in there, but how does anybody know they're going to pass? They don't. So it's kind of difficult for somebody who has an illness that isn't like, well, this is going to take you in such and such amount of time.
Right.
We don't know when you're going to go.
Yeah.
So
that is one of the challenges, I think, especially when the patient does not have a cancer diagnosis. some of our diseases, you know, Alzheimer's and some of the other congestive heart failure or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or more commonly known as COPD, all of those are diseases where it's a little difficult to figure out exactly when that patient is going to be hospice appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to assure our listeners that hospices know they have ways to sort of look at markers with the patient and be able to tell when a patient might be most appropriate for hospice care. Sometimes no, but more and more we're getting better at being able to determine when the patient's going to be appropriate.
Oh, great. Yeah, because you guys can't be there for 4 or 5 years.
No, that's right.
You know, so there's got to be some cutoff. And
right.
yet, and that's why I tell everybody, you know, support group and, you know, it takes a village and everything else that you need to do. Don't tough it out alone
and
reach out for as many resources as you can and just do the best you can. But you have to understand that from your point of view, how could you be there that all those years?
Sure.
What other services does hospice provide?
Well, I think one of the things I want to really highlight tonight is, as since we are focusing on caregiving, is the support that we can provide to families after the patient has died. We provide bereavement support and services to both hospice families as well as people who need bereavement support in the community and many of our hospices around the country.
Mm.
And it is a very important and very worthwhile service. So if you are a person who has lost a loved one recently, call your local hospice and talk to them about what services you might be able to get, a support group or some cards or letters or materials that you might get in a mailing, so that you can really start to know when what you're feeling is a normal part of the grief process and when maybe you need to talk to somebody.
That's wonderful to know. I might call them because,
Absolutely.
You know, I went through the 5 years of the caregiving and then I thought I was prepared for it, you know, because the Alzheimer's is the long goodbye.
Sure.
So you said goodbye how many times? And my mother had been ill for 15 years with after a heart attack. So in 15 years, I can tell you how many times I thought this was going to be the end.
Of course.
And then she would pull through from something else. And it, you still are never prepared.
Right.
As prepared as I thought I was. And then the grief kind of comes and it ebbs and it flows and it
Absolutely.
Hits you at strange times and then you're feeling very strong about it and very, you know, matter of fact, well, this is life and, you know, they live to their 80s and
right.
and then all of a sudden it hits you, you're an orphan.
Right.
And you just like break down and then the next minute, it's a real roller coaster,
Absolutely.
The process of grief.
And there are lots of people who know, who've seen a lot of grief and who have worked with a lot of people in grieving situations, and they can help.
And I think it's anger, too. I'm so mad.
Right, of course.
I'm just furious that I can't have them back the way they were 20 years ago when they
of
were
course.
Healthy and strong and, you know, just always there. And then I'm just, you know, relieved that I don't have to go through any more caregiving.
Of course. All of those things are completely normal.
And yeah. And then, you know, it goes from, you know, fear of the unknown and then strength of... gosh, you know, I wrote a book about this, and I'm making a difference in other people's lives, and I'm helping others cope with their caregiving issues. But it really, truly is a myriad of emotions that come when you lose loved ones.
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. What's the biggest thing that you see that people, the misconception maybe, or anything else? We just got a minute or two left.
Right. I guess I really want to just focus on hospice, a couple of just common myths. And one of them is that hospice is a place that you go to, and about 95% of the care we provide is for patients who live in their own homes or who live in a place they call home, like an assisted living facility or a nursing home. The other thing is that hospice is for the old, is for elderly, and we care for patients from 1 day old to 105, 110.
Wow.
So it really is whenever the services are needed, that's when hospice is there. I do also want to call people's attention to our helpline. It is 1-800-658-8898, or our website to find a hospice in your local community. And it's www.nhpco.org.
Fantastic. Any last thoughts? We've just got about 10, 15 seconds, 20 seconds left here.
I really want to encourage people to call your local hospice if you are facing a caregiving situation where you've got a person with a chronic illness or a person who is headed toward a more life-limiting illness, hospice can help.
And don't diagnose yourself. You know, let them come in and you help evaluate. You don't know.
Exactly.
And, you know, make some friends with these people. They're marvelous.
They really are.
Oh, thank you so much for being with us today, Judy.
Glad to do it.
All right. Bye now.
Bye now.
This is Jacqueline Marcel inviting you to check out hundreds of valuable resources that I have for you on my website. It's elderrage.com. Go down to the valuable links. Remember to join us here every Saturday from 3 to 5 Pacific Time. And don't forget that you can listen online anytime. Now stay tuned because coming up next, we're going to be speaking with Carmen Leal. She's an author and a tireless advocate for the awareness of Huntington's disease.
Help us lead the way.
Tell a friend.
We are WS Radio.
WSRadio.ws.
The worldwide leader in Internet talk.
The Fly Mike Company has designed and manufactured sportswear clothing since the early days of paragliding and hang gliding. A German firm, the Fly Mike, got its start in innovation from hands-on paragliding pilot Mike Lieberman. Cold alpine winter flying demanded a functional and affordable flight suit. Today, the Fly Mike Flight Suit Company is one of the major suppliers to worldwide paragliding and hang gliding pilots seeking affordable and value-oriented flight suits, jackets, and sports apparel. For warmth, comfort, and protection, make your next flight with Fly Mike.